One of these days we'll get this right. Welcome back to the Founders Lounge, guys. I'm Don.
I'm going to go by E today. E. I'm just going to go by it. One letter. E.
Do you ever notice, like, when we started this podcast versus Clean Truth, I told her that she needed to speak more. So I'm like, I'll pause and I'll give her a chance to speak. And then she'll look at me and she'll go, shit, now's my turn.
Sorry. I guess I'm still into, like, the last one, because the last podcast was, like, yours, and I just was, like, the sidekick. But I guess this is, like, both of ours, so we're, this is, like, an equal 50-50 type of project, right?
Well, we're married, so.
Well, yeah.
But you're still the sidekick.
Oh, so, see?
You're still Batman, you're still.
I don't need to speak then. No, I'm just going to, like, I'm going to plug real quick. So, is that okay? Mm-hmm. Because, like, the clothing line worked really, I hate when people say I worked really hard on shit, because I'm like, everyone works really hard, and there's always someone out there that's always going to work harder, right? But anyway, a lot of time went into this new clothing line, and I'm pretty proud of it. Like, I love the girl stuff. I can't say that much about you guys, because you had Scott and Don behind that, and they vetoed everything. So
that's because we didn't want to wear dumb shit.
I know, but the pants that you have on is not dumb shit. Nice. I know, but you guys did not like those. And so me and Allison went.
Do you remember saying you didn't like them?
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is this little goofy, like, drawstring little clasp thing.
I could have just done with, like, men's clothing is so hard. So hard. Because you guys are all so damn picky.
No, I think the clothing line was great.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, you have got to go check it out. We almost have the whole website done, which, if you are in retail, like, just kudos, because this is hard shit. Like, I did not realize from, like, the designs, inventory, folding, how many clothes have we folded in the past 2 weeks? And it's still screwed up, I feel like. So, because, like, an order will come in and then whoever picks it, not saying names, but Scott, and, like, just ruins the whole stack of clothing.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So anyway, it's anybody who's in retail, clothing, all that, like, I got to give you a shout out. So I'll just leave it there. But go check out the website, especially the ladies in the group. Like, there's some badass stuff out there. And kind of a different take. So we did a little bit different, because I'm like, what's our niche? Because I knew that we had a niche. I just didn't know what it is. But I hate dressing up. And so if I can take what, if I can, like, my clothes multi, so if it's clean eats and it's going to the gym, like, I don't want to go home and change. Like, we had date night last night, you know? And so I'm into these, I'm not going to say this right, but shackets. Shackets? Did I say that right? Scott, you're always trendy. It's shackets. Like, it's a jacket and blazer. So it's, like, a little bit longer coats. So, like, wasn't that cute last night? Yeah. Just saying.
She's finally, like, passionate, showing some emotion about something. I think it's great.
I love it.
I thought, I mean, you and Allison killed the clothing line. I think it's awesome. You know, and I get people that'll ask me, like, hey, where can I buy that? And full disclosure, we didn't do, like, an actual, like, clothing line drop. And the reason we did that was because we had our annual franchise convention.
Yeah.
It's been, what, 3 weeks now? Yeah. 3 weeks ago. And so every year that we do this and we put something out, we always try to give our franchise partners first crack at it.
Yeah.
So we set up a really nice, really cool store at the franchise convention, and they bought us out of a lot of stuff. So before we actually put stuff on the website and release it to the public, we had to figure out what kind of inventory and, you know, take pictures. It's a lot of work, like you said. It's ton of work.
Yeah, it's been done, but it's been really good. So y'all have to go buy the stuff so that I can start creating again, because did my limit get shut off? I might have gotten shut off.
What, buying more inventory?
Yeah.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
So please go purchase it so I can buy more.
Well, that'll kind of segue into, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the products sitting here next to me. And we don't really shamelessly plug Clean Eats on these podcasts. We kind of never really, on purpose, never really did that. But I wanted to share a couple new products that we just came out with that, again, I'm super proud of these. I put a lot of work into these, and so did you on the spice side. So you might have seen that we just came out with our own branded protein. It's called Clean Eat Shakes. Good products. They taste phenomenal. Very proud of these. So stop by a local cafe or cleaneatskitchen.com and, and check these out. The flavors are phenomenal. There's a digestive enzyme in there that helps with the BGs is what I call them, the bubble guts. and the fat source is coconut oil. So it's a really quality product. And then the new spices, this is actually a really cool story. So if you've seen the flip-flop guy online, I met Andy through Sornex and my relationships through there. And his sauce line, his sauces are unbelievable. He's come to our convention twice now, 2 years in a row, and cooked. Just a really good guy, really good friend of ours. So we kind of did a little collaboration on the new spice line. These things are phenomenal, guys. I put this shit on everything. Literally, that cheeseburger Sublime spice goes on almost everything I can eat. But those just came out, so check these two new products out. We have a third launching next week. I'm going to keep that a little quiet, and you'll see it online. But anyway, shameless plug. The topic today is, and I kind of did this topic on purpose. It's kind of, but not really. So when we started the Founders Lounge, the whole point of this podcast was just for you and I to be a little bit more authentic on our journey and just kind of teach lessons that we've learned throughout our journey. It wasn't really, we didn't want a business podcast. We didn't want to get on here and start giving people business advice and try to do that whole route. That's not you and I, wouldn't have flown right. It's not really our cup of tea. But I think that, like I've said, there's value in the lessons that we have learned along the way. And it just so happened the way that I timed these out, you know, episode one, we ran through our backstory. Episode two, what was episode two? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I kind of did these in synchronization. And so I'm kind of going in a timeline from when we started to getting us up to speed on where we are right now. And in the past, you and I have had conversations with people, other business owners who are interested in franchising their business. They've watched you and I do this for the last 7-8 years with Clean Eats, and we always get hit with a lot of questions. And so I thought it would be cool to talk through a lot of the questions that we get and a lot of the advice that we give people when they ask us at these little franchise meetings that we go and the conventions and the shows that we go to. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to start with this, and everybody's like, well, how did you guys know you wanted to franchise? We didn't. If you go back and listen to the original episode, we didn't know we wanted to do that. And then people will ask, well, you know, I'm thinking about franchising this. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, you're right. You should do that. But then other times I'm like, I don't know if, you know, nothing personal, but I don't know if your business is something that you could franchise. So I have three things here, and I labeled it, before you franchise, you should ask yourself this. The very first one is your business and is your model duplicatable? Can you take it and make it to where it's a replicatable thing? And if the answer to that is no, you're done right there. I wouldn't even think about it. I wouldn't even go any further. I'm going to let you chime in here, but then I'm going to contradict myself on that. But
yeah, I was kind of laughing when you told me the topic, because I asked him, I was like, what are we talking about tomorrow? And he's like, franchise. And I was like kind of chuckling, because if you go back and listen to your other podcast, I said, don't, because I think it was like 2 years ago, and it was, I'm not saying we were at a bad spot, but man, it was like,
we're going through a rough
patch. Yeah, we were going through a rough patch, and I was just like, don't, because you know, I hear everyone's like, oh, I'm gonna franchise, and you think, you know, the person who's franchising thinks that they're gonna make a bunch of money, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's, like, I'm not saying you won't, but I think it's not right out of the gate. And so then when you told me we're talking about this last night, and like, again, from 2 years ago from when we did that first one, I'm at a different place. And I'm like, you know what? Like, okay, starting to see the rewards of this. And I'm not saying financially, but it's the culture that the last 2 years that we have really put the time and effort and the blood, sweat, and tears into. You know, this convention was like completely a 180 from everything else. Like, they're happy, and I'm not saying everyone's happy, you know, but there's always like that. But I mean, when you can get everyone in the group and it's like everyone loves each other, you know, that's a huge thing. And I don't think a lot of franchises do that, nor do the co-founders invest that much time and stuff into that. So when you say, is it duplicatable? That's a huge one, you know, to document all those operations and procedures and to know that that model is going to put food on everyone else's tables, you know? So we all think that we have great ideas, but when it comes down to the figures, which is your lane, like it's not all warm and fuzzy all the time.
True.
Sorry, that was a rabbit hole. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So there's three of these. There's three questions that I put down and said, before you franchise, ask yourself these three things. And after I say these other two, I'm going to argue the other side of the coin. Number two is, does it have a niche? And number three is, does it make money? Now, it is possible to take your business and your model and make it have those two things to where it is duplicatable. But I've seen people take that too far. I've seen them change it too much. And they basically changed their entire business, and it's not even what they started, if that makes sense. So you can make anything duplicatable. It's how far do you want to push the line? You know what I mean? I think we questioned that in the beginning. We questioned, you know, is our model, the way that we operate Clean Eats, can we duplicate that? Because there is a whole, we say this every time we do a discovery day, there's a whole lot of cogs in this wheel. There's a ton of moving parts. And if you remember right, the guys that franchise us and help us get everything put together in a little package, he asked us that question many times. He's like, do you guys think this is duplicatable? Because you and I just did it. You know, we figured it out. We had to do it on our own. And we were doing things then that we don't, you know, do now because it was just you and I. We were doing it and figuring it out. But, I mean, I would ask yourself those three questions. And if you can check those three boxes, you got something to work off of.
Yeah, I think your niche too. Like, I think the niche also has to be like your why. Like, why are you doing this? And the niche also has to solve a problem, you know, for somebody. So.
The next thing is, what makes a good franchisee, right? We asked that in the very beginning. We still ask that now.
Have we figured that out?
No. And that's what I was getting ready to say. So my number one note here is there's no metric for this. Because there isn't. People can argue this all day long. They can say, well, I want X, Y, Z. I want them to have this, this, and this. They have to check these six boxes. But what we have found is when we put ourselves in a box like that, it's not the best thing. You know, we have franchisees who are high caliber business owners who 4 years ago, probably we wouldn't have approved them. And we have other franchisees in our system, franchise partners who are at the top of our franchise, who we almost didn't approve when we were interviewing them. You know, one specifically, I'll call her out by name. She won't care. It's Jade, you know, from Augusta. Jade's a savage. She's a ninja. But when she came here to interview with you and I, she was kind of a mute. She was very shy, very timid. And we're like, oh, my God, this girl's going to get eaten alive. Like, there's no way she's going to be aggressive enough to run a $1 million franchise. And sure shit, like, I don't know what happened, but she did it. And she's in the top of our system, and she's awesome. But like I said, you can narrow this down, but you can't put it in a box. Anybody can come along and sell you a story. We've had that happen too. We have had people in the past. I think everybody in our system now, I can honestly say, you know, they didn't sell us. You know, I don't think there's anybody in our system. I can say this with true transparency. We don't have anybody that I don't want in the system. You know what I mean? Everybody that we have now, and we have had that. So I'm not saying that's always been the case.
Right.
We've had people who are gone now who, when we had them, I'm like, we screwed up. We picked the wrong person. But the only way to do that is to do it and learn the hard way. I don't know what else. I mean, we're still trying to figure that out, and we're almost at 100 units, and we're still trying to figure that out.
Man, it's touching because, like you said, they can go in and sell you a story, and then the time that you tell someone no, you know, like, I don't know who we were just talking about this yesterday, but you say, like, no, like, you can't have it, and then they just, like, come at you, you know? So then you're like, man, did I make...
Well, they're offended.
Yeah. Did I make a wrong decision on this? And we have turned that... We have, like, said no to... it was actually Mike Garrett. And we told him no, I think, 3 times. And he seriously came and sold us. And he is awesome. And I'm glad that he changed our mind. But that's not always the case in everyone.
Well, I think in Mike's case, it wasn't that we were turning down Mike.
Right. It wasn't him personally. It was the area.
It was the area.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, everyone can sell you a story. It's kind of like interviewing a new team member, you know, like doing, like, if you're like hiring a new employee, like those guys can sell you a story in that interview. And it's the same thing with a franchise partner. But you have to know, like, we used to do only an hour of that conversation in the very beginning. So they would come here, we would meet like an hour, and that was pretty much it. We had 60 minutes to make that decision. And then we're like, hey, that's not enough, you know, because we missed errors and all that. And so then we bring them in, and now it's like almost a 2-day process, you know, and just like the first day is just basically get to know, and we play a dumb game. But it was just kind of getting them to open up and see like how they're, what they tell us, and some things that they tell us, we're like, oh gosh, you know, like, probably shouldn't have said that on our first 60 minutes of meeting each other, you know, but we're glad we did, because it was like kind of like a, not a red flag, you know, but a caution flag that goes up. So, but we want that, because obviously if we're not the right fit, you don't want these people to come into your system. And not only it's a burden to you, but it's also to them, because they're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into this. So
yeah, they're putting their entire life into it.
But we've just talked over coffee this morning about how we were going to use personality tests, maybe moving into 2023, to see, take like your top 5 operators and maybe you know, the other, like, in seeing if when the new franchisees come, if they fit any of those personalities, knowing that you can make them success. So I'm sure there's a bunch of more scientific stuff that is out there that we don't
do. Yeah, we've tried everything. I mean, we've done something that we do now is we make everybody submit a video.
Yeah.
We take their questionnaire and we basically did a video out of it. So I got a lot of heat for that from our development guys and from franchise brokers. And, you know, they didn't see my point in wanting to do that. And I said, well, here's a couple of reasons why I want to do it. Number one, it gives us a chance to digitally get to know them better, even though it's not live. It's, you know, we're still watching them, their composure, who they are, how they act. But then number two, it proved to us, okay, well, if you can, I call it the 3-foot game, going back to an old podcast, if they can talk to a camera and they can be alive and you can see passion in their voice and they can talk on camera, well, then they can market. You know, you see where I'm going with that? So, it kind of gave us a checkbox to use, and those are still great. But like you said, now I'm trying to go even further, and I had that call this morning to where we're going to try to do this personality test and see if that works. You're just going to have to play around with it. You're going to have to figure out who is the best person for your brand. Who do you think is going to be the best operator? One of the biggest common denominators, I think, that's worked for us is type A personalities. That may not work with every business. That may not work with every franchise.
That's a love-hate relationship. Just
but,
so
I mean, it's true. Yeah. All of our high-caliber franchisees, they're all type A personalities. They're leaders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know how you narrow that down before you sign them, other than you're just going to have to do it and figure
Which
it out.
Which leads right into your next point on this one, with the person dealing with different personalities.
Yeah, so the next one is how to manage different personalities, right? So you've... check the 3 boxes. Okay, I think I have a working thing to work off of here in a franchise model to work off of. I figured out who I think is going to be good franchisees. So then you do it. You got a couple of them onboarded. Well, then you have different owners and different personalities. And how do you manage that? That is a very, very tricky thing to do. I am still 100 units in trying to learn how to do that efficiently. And sometimes I screw it up. I do fuck it up still. But I've laughed and joked at conferences and in front of our entire franchise system that, you know, that I'm not perfect at it. And they all know that. And I have relationships with some of our franchisees, a couple of the guys, where we have gotten into, and sometimes still do, very, very extremely heated arguments over anything, you name it. And then...
which is the love-hate relationship with type A personalities.
Correct. But then, you know, within 5 minutes, it's not a hey, fuck you type thing. It's, we'll be amped up, we'll yell and scream at each other, and then 5 minutes later, we'll talk through the problem. And then in 10 minutes, we're talking about cars, guns, or, you know, whatever. It's water under the bridge. And that's the type of relationships that you want to get to. But at the end of the day, there's three things that I do to manage this. And then three things I've learned how to do. One, you've got to get to know them. If you look at franchisees as an income or as a money stream, and you don't actually get to know them as people, you're done. Forget it. You'll never be successful. You've got to know them as people and as partners. And that's number two, is treat them like business partners. Because essentially that's what they are. If you're getting into a franchise, you're franchising your name and your business model, but you're also bringing on partners to grow that. That's essentially what it is. They're your partners. And the third one is listen. You've got to listen to them. You and I, that's been a tough one for us to figure out. We're 6 years in, but I think we're getting a lot better at it. But those are three big ones. You got to get to know them. You got to treat them like partners, and you have to be able to listen to them.
Yeah, I'll just touch a little bit on my side. So, like, again, Don is always black and white. Like, there is no gray area. So it's either right or it's wrong, or it's yes or it's no. And so
most of the time.
That's my shirt. I'm 50 Shades of Gray. So this is awesome with us as business partners also, because he can go at it and put, like, he's like, no. And then I'm always like the mom, I guess, of the group, which I hate that. But I'm like, they'll call me and be like, hey, just had a conversation with Don. Like, he told me no. And I was like, okay, so tell me, you know. And then I'm like, you know, they kind of got a good point, you know. So then I kind of go back at him a little bit and be
good,
like,
good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop. Yeah, that's better. That's cooler. But anyway, go back at you and be like, okay, so I get, like, why you're saying no. But, like, what if, like, you think of these three things? And then I know, like, me and you used to go at it at that point, but then I just kind of walk away. And then you ponder, you think, you're a thinker, you're a quiet thinker. And then, you know, it's either the next morning over coffee, we do all of our stuff over coffee. So it's either, hey, I see your point on that. Like, and I can kind of, like, not turn your, but, like, grow, right? Like, think a different way. And you're like, I didn't see it that way. Da da da. So that's good. But as much as you get to know them, they have to know you also. Like, because you're taking their future and they're putting their trust. So if there's not that trust, the rest of the years are going to struggle, because if they are type A people don't like to be told what to do without an explanation. And so if there's a trust between both of you, that process is eased a little bit. And I think that's where we kind of have worked the last 2 years, is gaining that trust. Be like, hey, we're all here for the same goal. This is not us dictatorship telling you what to do. This is, like, how we're going to make our brand better, you know? And then the other thing, I just got off a coaching call, he said something on there. He said that feedback is a gift. And I've never looked at that, because I have grown a lot in this. And you even made the comment the other day. You're like, I can't believe you've surpassed me in this growth. Because when you have a brand, it's so personal. It's so much passion. And the passion is what gets you there. But then at some point during this journey, you have to detach. And it's, I think...
that is very difficult to do.
It's very, yeah. And it's... even some of the our owners have said, oh my gosh, like, you have changed in 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, because when they came at me, I would flip a table. And like you said, like, I'm just like, I took it personal. Like, you were like, it was just I felt like it was a personal attack. But if you can detach from that and you can take their feedback and not take it at personal and take it more like a, negativity can always be used towards a positive thing. So if it's a negative comment, like, what can you take from that to make it even better? And I always felt like the negativity was like, I never wanted to hear it, you know? So you really have to have thick skin in that and be able to detach and all that. So, but like, the feedback is a gift. You can take what you want from that feedback. You don't have to take their feedback all the time and 100% of it, but you can take bits and pieces, and maybe that feedback even gives you a direction of like, yeah, of stuff too. So again, this is their business as much as it is your business, and you can't be the one that has all the ideas all the time because you don't walk in their shoes every single day. So,
well, to take this part of the conversation a little bit further, this whole thing right here, managing personalities and managing the franchise partners, is the whole reason why I end my introduction at Discovery Days the way that I do, with that four-legged table analogy. And I don't know if I covered this on another podcast, but you know, we had a franchise partner come to Discovery Day one time, and that's how he gave his why statement to us. Is he used a book analogy as a table, and I was like, damn it, that's fucking cool. And so I stole it. I told him I did, and he laughed. And so now I was like, man, that is a good reference on a good analogy to use on how we manage the company day to day. And I always say I'm a terrible reader. I don't like to do it. I do it because it's good for you. But there's four books that I have read that I kind of use this analogy at Discovery Days on how we manage this topic right here. The first one is Simon Sinek's Why. That one's pretty obvious. I don't really need to explain that one. The second one is Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership. And I always tell people that, you know, even though we're 6 years in and almost at 100 units, we're still human. We still fuck stuff up, but we just own it and we fix it. And we talk to the franchisees because we have gotten to know them. We've gotten to listen to, we're able to listen to them, and we're able to hear their feedback, and we fix it. Simple. The third one is Tim Grover's Relentless. That's probably one of my favorite all-time books I've ever read. And the reason that one sticks so bad is, and I tell people, as I'm standing up there at the podium talking, I said, we make decisions here on a daily basis. They're not always going to be the right ones for every market that we have. And they're not always going to be the ones that make you happy, because you're not going to like them. But we do it for the brand and for the logo and for the system as a whole. And I think once you have that trust thing that you talked about, and, you know, it goes back to getting to know them, having them trust you and being able to listen, they understand that. They may not like it. You're going to get a little bit of, you know, blowback from some decisions that you make. But at the end of the day, they know you're doing it for a good reason. And then the fourth one is Be Water. Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter. That was the biggest growth. You just said that you kind of passed me in that growth. And I think that book helped me adapt to that. It made me not so rigid, because like you said before, it was like, okay, this is a franchise. It's black and white. It's either this way or the highway. And then sometimes you have to mold. You have to be like water and say, okay, well, you know, maybe there's a way around this decision. So I know I kind of went down a wormhole on that, but
and you didn't say it on that, but like the cup, you have to come in this with your cup half empty so that you can fill with the information the knowledge and all that. So
that was a big,
if you come in with a full cup all the time and it spills over, you can't do that. So yeah.
Yep. And that happens.
Kind of jealous of your four-legged table. So
it does happen. You know, we get people that come in who have CEO experience, have, you know, big restaurant experience, way more than we do. And I always tell them, you know, using that analogy, I'm like, you guys have all this experience and all this background as CEOs and as executive business people, come in with a half empty cup. I know we're just two thug gym rat people who started a brand and grew it and have done all of this, but we know what we're doing. This model works. You have to trust us. You have to trust the fact that we figure these SOPs out. They're not perfect all the time. They're never going to be. If you can do that, you're going to be successful here. If you're not, it's going to be a long road. Let's move on. So the next one is how do I strategize short-term goals, right? So now you've gotten your brand franchise, you know who you want in the system, you've got a bunch of them, you've gotten to know them a little bit, and you're ready to start scaling, you're ready to start growing. This is another one that we kind of figured out the hard way. I don't really think we put a whole lot of thought into it. I think ours was more or less financial reasons why we did what we did, was because we were broke. Honestly, I mean, at the end of the day, that's why we did it the way we did it. And we just kind of started, You know, our first franchise was in Myrtle Beach. Then it was Charleston. And we just kind of grew the surrounding areas of where we were because we couldn't afford to fly anywhere. That was the main reason why. But then we started to figure out, okay, well, we're doing this right because of supply chain, you know, getting the same food in every store. It's easier to do it that way, right? So the last thing we were going to do was put, we're in Wilmington, North Carolina on the East Coast. We weren't going to put a franchise in Phoenix, Arizona in the first two or three years we were a franchise. That would have been dumb. We couldn't afford to fly there. We wouldn't have been able to monitor, and you know, the compliance and making sure that the food stayed the same. Like, it would just would have been harder to manage. And so from a management standpoint, we tell everybody it's smarter to grow regionally and grow outward, is how I put that.
Yeah. No, I think to grow that way, you know, like, obviously we're food. So our business is probably different than like a, you know, service franchise with that. But for us, you know, vendors every day hear what you're going to do. Like, I'm going to, you know, open a franchise and have 100 units. But very few people, like, we just, the speaker that we had, Kyle, come in, said that 5% of franchises make it to 100 units. And we're so close. So, but just like that, just validates that, you know, these vendors hear this stuff all the time, and very few brands execute that way. So I think even with your short-term goals is that you have to, just as you're making those trust with the owners, you have to do that with your vendors too. Because what's, I think the crappiest thing is that a vendor believes in you and goes like the, you know, during those beginning phases of your short-term goals, gets there. And then you leave them hanging and you move on to a bigger, better stuff. So I think with the short-term goals, it's very important to have integrity along the way. So what seems, you know, it might seem better now, but man, just stick with it. And you're bringing that trust to the vendors, and they'll be, you know, have your back the whole time. So we've almost all of our original vendors with us from day one who believed in us. So,
well, the vendor thing boils down to loyalty, and that's a big, huge one with me. I've gotten pretty agitated with some of our franchise partners when they turn and are pretty shitty to our vendors, because I'm like, guys, if you don't treat these guys with the same respect that I treat you, you don't run your business. Period. Right. At the end of the day, it's not going to happen. So you can't be shitty to these vendors and just say, well, I'm just going to find somebody else. It doesn't work that way. No. You know, your name will get around. The vendors will get to know that you're kind of an asshole to deal with. And then they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to deal with you either. You know, if you were a dick to this guy, you're going to be a dick to me. And then if one thing happens, you're just going to drop me like you dropped them. That gets around. That's a small world. So
yeah,
that's a big one with me is vendor loyalty. Treat those guys with the same respect that you want to be treated. And,
well, yeah, because if you don't have the vendors coming, like, then you don't have the stuff to...
Correct.
I mean, it's like it's a big circle. I always call it a food, you know, like there's the food chain, but we have the food chain. So, you know, it's the same thing. Like, if you don't take care of one, then you can't get to the next phase of everything. So
number two on this list is hire the right support team. You know, anytime you want to scale.
And we're still working on that one, too. No, just kidding.
As the camera gets kicked over, I'm out of here.
Sorry. I just was giving.
No, in all seriousness, you have to hire the right support team. If you don't have the right people in the right seats at the right time, it's not going to work either. And then what you'll find is you're going to be doing a lot of work yourself. I know, because we've been there. But then if you get the wrong people, you start sending the wrong message. The wrong things start to happen. It's just a chain reaction. So make sure that you hire the right support team for the right job at the right times. Timeline-wise,
we're bad to ask that
because we're terrible. We've ran our company very lean. We're just now getting to the point where we're like, we need an army. Like, yeah. We're we're manning up.
Which is probably one of our weaknesses is the team, or not team building, but just the future planning, because... Yeah, but I feel like we might have it this time. Like, it took us 10 years.
Well, and you and I, to a fault, yeah. I mean, we're still very emotionally hands-on.
Type A.
We do a lot of things ourselves, a lot of things we probably shouldn't to this point still be doing ourselves, but we do it because we're so passionate about it. But we have an awesome support team. Media guy standing right here, badass. Our operations guys are amazing. We have a very good team. We need to man up and get them some help. It's a tough time, man. I mean, everybody listening to this is going to go, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, hiring people right now and trying to find good people to work that want to work and do a good job and be proud of what they do every day, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
That's not a knock on anybody. It's just
we've been fortunate because we've had several walk through our door recently. So, yeah.
And number three is have your operations dialed in before you decide to go scaling anything. We've kind of tripped and fell there, too. So there's another
several
thing.
Times.
You don't have to have it all figured out. You're going to figure a lot of it out as you go. That's the whole point of it. But, you know, at least have the basics. Have a foundation set and whatever that is, you know. For us, we had to have an operations manual. We had to have a training manual. We had to have the bare bones basics so we can teach people how to do what we did. I'd say that would be your foundation no matter what you're doing. You want to be able to teach franchise partners who you sign how to do what you do. So you have to have that shit ready to go. You can't wait till you're 6 units, 7 units in and then figure that out. Bless you.
Thank you. I would say the first 10 owners that you bring on board need to have like a realistic term of that too. So because like you said, we tripped and fell on this several times, you know. So the first few ones have to know that they're going to be pioneers and be telling about, you know, walking in the 6 feet of snow both ways to school type of thing, because what happens in those first 10 units or stores, holy cow, is scary.
We've been very fortunate with that. We got very lucky the first 12. They're all amazing.
Yeah.
All of them, I think, but one is still in the system. And they're still doing well and thriving, making a lot of money. But if you ask those guys what it was like year two, they would grin ear to ear. Like, the technology that we didn't have, the way we used to do stuff is absurd. It's crazy, the things that we used to do. So she's right. I mean, those guys are going to have to understand the first few that you get on board, you're trying to grow something, right? Which leads me into the next thing is long-term growth. And the very first one is get your veterans on board with brand growth. They got to know why you're changing things along the way.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect point to say with that. And ours did. Ours, it's never been perfect. It still happens today. Some of these guys are 6 years in with us. We'll make a change and I'll get a phone call. Man, are we really going to do this? Like, I've been doing this for 6 years, and I'm like, okay, it goes back to you've got to get to know them and their personalities and how to massage those conversations. And as long as I think that you explain why you're doing it and they see the big picture, you're not going to get too much blowback. You might. There's always going to be some that aren't going to get on board with it no matter what. They just won't. But I think for the most part, you're going to be able to scale long-term, bigger, faster if you get your veteran people on board with your mission as to why you're doing it.
I agree. Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking of a few, you know. But, yeah, they have to be on. And change is hard. Change is hard for us. It's hard for your team. It's hard for your owners. It's hard for your customers. No one likes change because we just get, I'm not saying it's complacent, but you just get used to your routines and all that. So, you know, you're like, oh, I got to start all over again or not. I don't like it this way. I want to go back to the old way. And we just went through a whole menu change and we still have a few of them who wants to keep the old stuff on there. And I'm like, okay, we're never going to get better if we keep going to the past. But so change is really hard for everybody.
I'm going to put Mike Parker on the spot here because he's the one that he's kind of a fall guy a lot. He's been on our franchise advisory council once, I think, but he's one of the oldest ones in the system. He was the fourth or fifth store. I don't remember exactly. He was one of the first six. I know that. And Mike was a cable guy before he started doing this. And now he owns 3 units in Raleigh. You know, him and his wife are building this, their dream home. I told him the other day, I was like, Mike, all jokes aside, I know we bust each other's balls a lot, but I am super fucking proud of you from what you've done in 5 years as a cable guy. It's unbelievable. It really is like the picture perfect American dream. But anyway, he's been that guy for us many, many, many times, almost to the point where franchisees question, okay, is Mike saying this because he's friends with us?
Yeah.
Well, partly yes, but mostly he's been around since day one. He's been around literally since you used to text the weekly meal plans out to all the franchisees on a piece of notebook paper. There was no technology. There was no build sheets the way that we have it now. It wasn't broken down by macros and ounces. It was literally written out by hand on paper. He's been around that long. So when you can get guys like that on board with your big picture and all of these major changes that you're going to do along the way, you're not going to have a hard time with it.
I just another thing too on that is just like I feel like everyone's in their four walls. So whether that's like in like Parker, just using him still, like he's in Raleigh, but he doesn't have the big picture of the Arizona couple, you know, like so that's another big thing is to yank them outside to, you know, I always do that thing where if you put your hand in front of your face and hand out front, you know, you can see the bigger picture. So you just have to remind them to step outside their four walls and look in, which they need to detach also to grow their businesses too. So
number two, I mentioned it as start a franchise advisory council. I wish we would not have waited so long to do that.
Really? I was going to say the opposite.
You think we should have waited longer to do it?
No, I think when we did it was the correct time. So I think if you start it too soon and you can't get the first half of this podcast together, like bringing on
a council. I don't think you need day one.
Yeah, bring it on. When did we bring ours on? How many units? Like I remember
30. Maybe.
So I felt like that was kind of good. Like, but we still had a lot of ego on that. You know, the first years of those councils, like we're like, okay, we're just going to kind of tell you guys, you're here, but we're going to tell you how we want this to be ran.
I don't think this one's a one-size-fits-all. I think it's going to be different for different folks.
But versus
you'll know
now.
You need a franchise advisory council. Yeah. My point is you're going to need it, and it's very valuable. I've heard other franchise owners say, we're not going to do that. We don't want them to have a voice. We don't want them to influence our decisions. And I think that's just a terrible way to go about doing
feedback
it.
Feedback is a gift.
And we're very blessed to have a really good one. Ours do a really good job, sometimes almost too good of a job. But the third one and the last one, and this is the biggest whole point of the conversation, it kind of touches on a previous podcast. As founders, you have to find the right strategic partner and the right consultant to help guide you in the right direction, and you're going to need one. Nobody is going to be able to do this without some sort of coaching or some sort of help along the way. You and I have gone through many of them. We've had good ones. We've had bad ones. You know, go back and listen to the previous episode. You'll hear all about it. But make sure you find the right person, the right fit for that. For that fit. Very, very super, uber important.
Yeah. I would probably say the first two key ones, right, if you're going to start franchising is the franchise lawyer, right? Because we did not start with that. And again, I think if you go back to the stories on there, but that was our first mistake. And then the consultant, like you're going to need help. If you are a true entrepreneur, like there's weaknesses and you need to find those weaknesses. Like ours was the operational manual. You need to bring in somebody that can sit there and extract everything out of your head and put that on paper and do all that. So I feel like those were the first two things that you have to find is the extractor of your business and all that.
I agree, and then the
franchise lawyer, because that FDD, which is the franchise agreement, that's your Bible of the entire business. And if that is on day one messed up, you have a long road ahead of you. So that's,
I didn't even touch on that because I've kind of figured that was self-explanatory, but you're right. I mean, you might as well make the point that you're absolutely right. The two biggest ones are your franchise attorney. If you don't have one before you start, get one. Don't start before you have one.
And not any attorney. It needs to be a franchise attorney.
And then, you know, like the right business coach. Between them two, they can get you started. They can get you off the ground the right way, make sure all your documentation's right and that sort of thing. But it's also an ongoing thing. They're there to coach you. They're there to help you. They're there when you stumble and fall down, which we have done many, many, many times. And learn very valuable lessons along the way by doing it. But That's all I got for this one. Unless you got anything else.
I'm just noticing your hat, and it looks a little dirty. So I feel like you need to go onto the Cleaning Smart site and order some new ones. Maybe a new shirt, too.
I know a guy I can get one for free.
Make sure you put in that credit card. I'm on a budget.
All right, guys. See you next week.